The following presentation is brought to you by Priority One.
Base Elohim Malach Berugesh. I once thought that Berugesh stands for Ruach, Geshem, Veshelik. So I think that many of us were time all of that this evening to get here. And the Mashiach's Nefesh that everybody's shown to come here this evening certainly is a testimony to the realization of the importance of this topic. Before I go on with the introduction, I'd like to take a brief pause to have a word about the sponsors of this event. The event is co-sponsored by Priority One and Yedidim. Priority One is an organization based in New York, founded by Rabbi Shaya Cohen. They have been at the forefront of addressing issues of teens at risk for the past 20 years. In addition to their many multifaceted programs which they have created and designed to address this issue, they have more recently embarked on a campaign to educate both teachers and parents how to best deal with teens in today's day and age. And we're very happy to have Priority One now bringing these programs that they've spread across all across North America. They've run many seminars similar to this with tremendous success. And we're happy to have them here in Eretz Yisrael bringing it to us here as well. Yedidim is an organization that was founded by Rabbi Yaakov Goodman Shlita, based here in Yerushalayim. Rabbi Goodman has many years of experience dealing with teenagers, and he came to the realization that often there's a certain gap that a mentor or big brother can fill that sometimes parents and educators are not in the position to fill. And very often they can be instrumental in changing the direction of teenagers for the better, of course. And with this in mind, Rabbi Goodman founded the organization Yedidim that does just that, pairs mentors with teenagers. And Baruch Hashem, over the years, Yedidim has seen tremendous success with hundreds of kids that they have had running through their programs. Many of them now are leading lives, productive lives, at B'nai Torah, dedicated to a life of Torah mitzvot. This is not the first. This is not the first program that Priority One and Yedidim have collaborated on. This past summer, we ran a training seminar for mechanchim here in Yerushalayim, which Baruch Hashem was very successful. And we're very happy once again to be able to provide this service to the American-speaking public here in Eretz Yisrael. For those who are interested, we have out here sheets that can be filled out with contact information. This way, when we have future events, anyone who is interested in participating in them will have their information ready, and we can contact you and inform you of future events, be it for parents or mechanchim. About 2 weeks ago, I had contacted Rabbi Mendel Weinbach and asked him to participate in this event to address this program we have this evening. Unfortunately, he wasn't feeling well at the time, so he declined. So in the interim, we went to the Talmud Rebbe and asked him to present for us, and he agreed. Just today, though, we found out from Talmud Rebbe, unfortunately, he's not feeling so well and was not able to make it to the event this evening. So frantically, I placed a call to Rabbi Weinbach, and I tracked him down to his dentist's office. I think he was actually sitting in the dentist's seat, Novocaine in his mouth. Got on the phone, still numb, and I told him about our little crisis that we had here, and he graciously agreed to come join us and present for us here at this event. So I am honored and privileged to be able to introduce to you this evening Rosh Yeshiva Or Sameach, a renowned expert in the field of chinuch, Rabbi Mendel Weinbach Shlita, who will address us this evening.
Tonight is Purim Katan, and since there's a meaning of Purim, of masquerading and presenting yourself as someone who you are not, so tonight I'm masquerading as a Tomalev. Weinberg, Weinbach, not that much difference. Silti Shalom, in his introduction to that classic Sefer, writes that he's not going to be presenting any chidushim. That the things he's going to be writing about are things that are well known to people. But nevertheless, they have to be repeated, they have to be internalized. And tonight, I think that what you'll be hearing from the people speaking tonight may not come across as something you did not hear before. There may be no real chidushim, but hopefully there will be something to take to heart, and perhaps it will enrich our ability to deal with our children and with our talmidim. Just the other day, someone told me a very charming story about a young man new to the Torah community who came to Rosh Yeshiva, a Baal Leib Steinman Shlita. He came to him and he has a shaila he wants to ask. What's a greater kavod Shabbos? To eat fish or to eat meat? Shiva says, probably meat. He said, but I don't like meat. So eat fish. So that means to say that what I like is what I should do, and I don't have to do what I don't like. Well, I don't like learning Torah. I like to do other things. Is that justifying? So Barley turned in and said, what about someone who doesn't like meat or fish? If we analyze why he doesn't like either one of those, it's probably because he's got some sores in his mouth. Nothing wrong with the food. There's something wrong with the taster. So what has to be done is to remove the sores from that mouth so that he should be able to enjoy the foods, all foods on Shabbos. And similarly, someone who does not have what we call a geschmack in learning, and that's what everyone who's in this field can testify to, that the dropouts, all of the failures of our educational system, whether it's here in Eretz Yisrael or throughout the world, is a result of failure on the part of the Talmud to succeed in his learning and to really get a taste of Torah. So our job as parent, as teacher, as mentor, is how do we remove those sores from the mouths of these precious youngsters so that they can taste the ta'am of Torah. Let's start with the parent. The responsibility of the parent and the opportunities of the parent in regard to removing those sores. First of all, there's something we always must remember. The parental responsibility in chinuch. The Torah writes, "V'limadetem oisam espeneichem," which Chazal defined as meaning that the prime role of mechanech is not the Rebbe, the teacher. The prime role is that of the father. V'limadetem atem espeneichem. You have to be the teachers. Now, does that mean only teaching the material? Does that mean that the father is restricted to teaching Aleph Beis, Chumash, Gemara? Well, ideally, perhaps yes. But what happens in our own time, and it's been for a long time already, that we have shifted the responsibility of actual education to the school, to the cheder, to the talmuder, to the yeshiva, to the seminary. Does that eliminate the father's role? No. Because the father's role as l'madatem atem es b'neichem is not a question of conveying the material, the curriculum of Torah. There's something that only a father can do. Father who has a special love and concern for his child and can communicate that, only a father can give a child that kind of love that he needs. Only a father really understands the temperament of his child and knows how to balance between discipline and freedom. Only a father can be the one who the child wants to please more than anyone else in the world, wants to give nachas to him. So the father's role, even after he sent his child off to school, has not come to an end. The father has to maintain that contact, whether he does it in the role of the Oves and Bonin model that he learns with his child. And not only, Oves and Bonin doesn't stop when the child goes later on to a higher level, but every opportunity the child that comes home from yeshiva for Shabbos, there has to be that ongoing relationship of a father learning with a child. The father's contact with the mechanech, how crucial that is. How many parents have abandoned their children? They've sent them off to school and that's it. The teacher never hears from them again. There's no one to report to. Perhaps once a year there'll be some kind of a parent meeting and they'll hear for a few minutes with the Rebbe. That's not what it's all about. There has to be an ongoing contact so that, number one, the father knows the moments of weaknesses, the times that the child is perhaps not doing that well, and that he needs the parental encouragement, and the other way around, that the teacher should be aware of what's going on in the home, and what are the moods, and what are the problems, so that he can deal with it. And I always recall one particular incident of how far this can go. When I was a youngster learning in Terev Das back in America, so many of us earned a little bit of money. We did some tutoring. This was before the days of the mentors. We did some tutoring of youngsters in the neighborhood. There was one young fellow that I taught, and I taught him for weeks and weeks and weeks. Taught him a particular, I asked him, where are you holding in the Gemara? And he shows me where it is, somewhere in Sefti Kiddushin. And I learned with him, and I went over again with him, and over again with him. And the parents come to me after a while, they say, it's no use. The Rebbe says he knows absolutely nothing. What turned out? Not that I was such a poor tutor. The youngster told me the wrong place. It wasn't even where they were learning. And the parents never even bothered to find out, to tell the tutor that they hired, where he should be tutoring their son. Contact, some kind of an involvement. And there's also Matan Schar B'Tzido. Everyone knows that the parent who's more involved with his child's education and is asking the Rebbe all the time, he can be sure that the Rebbe is going to give a greater amount of attention to that child, because he's responsible to a father who is curious and who is interested. But it goes beyond that. The father also is the role model for the child. And if the father is not seen learning in his spare time, if he doesn't attend the shir, or doesn't have a chavrusa, and the child sees the father, what is he doing? He's reading a newspaper, he's resting, but he's not learning. How's the child supposed to develop any kind of an appreciation of what Torah is? You know, somebody once told a story about a Rebbe. He was asking in the class, he says, what do you think is the most important thing on Shabbos? What's the most important thing? He was expecting to say that, you know, when my father asked me to say over something, what I learned, he asked me the questions, or the davening, he says the most important thing is chulent. Because when the chulent comes around, my father couldn't care less about divrei Torah or anything else. The chulent is what counts. How subtle that is, the message that's sent across there. And on the other hand, how parents can show what the chshivas of Torah is. It's a beautiful story of Zilberstein and his Sefer and Aleinu Shabeach tells about a father whose son was about to learn Bava Metzia. And in those days, they couldn't afford to get a real whole Gemara of Bava Metzia. They had these little booklets there for the Pelik they're learning. But he started to learn Gemara. So the father figured, I got to do something special. I got to show him how chashuv this is. So he took something which was very precious to him, and he sold it, and he went to this bookstore. He's going to buy a big regular Gemara for his son starting to learn Gemara. He comes into the Sfarim store, and there's his wife, who just sold a precious piece of jewelry to be able to buy that Gemara for her son. And they both together took that Gemara and brought it home as a present to their son. That's showing achshivas for Torah. And it's all what the parent does, the role model. So there's all those kinds of responsibilities of a parent. But perhaps the most crucial one in the situations that we're dealing with, that Yedidim and the priority one deal with, is the problem of those children at risk. The child that doesn't make it to school. He's behind in the class and he loses his cheshik to learn. And he's about to drop out. Here's where the real challenge comes to the parent. Just as there are, we all know, in matters of ill health, rahmana litzlan, there are people who live with denial. They will not admit that they have that sickness and they will go on without treatment, rahmana litzlan, to a bitter end. There's a denial that has crept in to our society. The refusal to admit that I've got a child with a problem. If the parent is ready to admit there is a problem, there are solutions. Baruch Hashem, these programs that we just heard about before, and others, there's so much being done today. The Torah community is rich with people who are trying their best to find all kinds of innovative programs, but there's this terrible problem that parents are afraid, what will the neighbors say? What will the relatives say if our child is taken out of a regular school and put into this kind of a program? Just last night, close to 11 o'clock, I get a call from a woman in the United States who's got a 14-year-old child at risk. And she's asking me about a program. There's a new program, a young fella took initiative of creating a program with a farm, so there should be a little bit of learning with the farm activity for those children that should be able to solve their problem. And she's asking me a million questions about the program and about the person. It's hard, very difficult for people to come to grips with that they have a problem, they're ready to admit it, and they're ready to look for solutions. That's crucial. That's parental responsibility. To try to encourage, of course, we all want to be able to encourage the child to succeed. But sometimes our expectations are too great. And that's what causes so many failures. How can we expect that every child should be like his siblings who made it, who were successful? Can every child be like the neighbor's children that are doing so well in school? Every child is a different neshama. He's got different challenges, different problems, different talents, and different handicaps. To be able to recognize that, and that's the role of a parent. This child, I'm not expecting top grades. And when he comes home with his report card and it's not exactly what I would have wanted to see, I have to compliment him. If he's trying to do his best and encourage him to do his best, then I only expect of him what he's capable of. So many children at risk, their complaint is exactly that. What do they want from me? Do I have to be like everyone else? I'm different. The parent has to recognize that difference and to be able to deal with it, to be able to encourage, to be able to find the alternatives. So those are all of the things that we have in regard, perhaps, to the parental role. Not to abandon the chinuch of the child to the parent, but to keep on being that mechanech of the maratem atem. What about the teacher? What about the educator who already has been given that responsibility by the parents who have sent their children to school? One of the big challenges of every mechanech is how do we overcome the lack of confidence which perhaps the bottom third, if not the bottom half of the class, has. There are always those, we've all seen them. There are those who have the natural talent, who have the dedication and the motivation, and they make it. They're at the top of the class. But there's those who just, because they're not keeping up, they lose their confidence that they're able to do anything. This is so crucial in developing that sense of confidence. That's one of the sores in the mouth that doesn't allow them to taste straight, or they're afraid they're not going to make it. I want to share with you an insight of Chazal in regard to this idea of the importance of instilling that confidence. The Medrash Medrash, Medrash in Parshas Metzora, the Medrash talks about the different reactions of the fool and the chacham to the challenges that they had in learning. First thing, an example of, there's some piles of earth that have to be removed. So the tipish looks at it and he says, who is able to remove all of that? That's a lot of stuff there, piled high, who's able to do it? And what does the chacham say? I'll take 2 shovels today, another 2 shovels tomorrow, and that way I'll be able to remove all of that. That's the moshul, and what's the nimshul? The tipish says, there's so much to learn. Who's capable of learning so much? And what does the chacham say? Today I'll learn 1 perek, 2 halachas, tomorrow another 2 halachas until I know everything. Moshul number 2. There's the situation of a bread, nice tantalizing loaf of bread which is hanging from the ceiling but way up high beyond reach. And the tipish looks at it and he says, who's able to reach up there and to take down that loaf of bread? And what does the pikeach, what does the wise man say? It didn't get there by itself. Somebody hung it from there. He must have got up on a ladder and put it there. So I'll get up on the ladder, or I'll put together 2 poles and I'll pull it down. The same way, says the Medrash, what's the nimshul? The tipish says, who's capable of learning, of understanding so much? Who's capable of going into the depths of reaching that high, like that bread, or reaching the heights of learning Torah? And what does the wise man say? No, learn a little bit. How did that chacham that you say you can't learn from him? He's so wise, but I can't fathom what he's teaching me. Says the chacham. And how did that chacham become a chacham? Did he learn from somebody? So you can also learn from him. And a third marshal, where somebody is pouring water, he's being hired to pour water or wine into a barrel that has a hole in it. And the fool says, what's the point? I keep pouring things into it and it just goes right out. And what does the chacham say? But you're getting schar. Aren't you getting paid for pouring it in? Go ahead and do it. In the same way, says the Medrash, the fool says, how can I possibly remember everything that I learn? And the chacham says, but everything do you learn, even if you don't remember it all, you're going to get tremendous chav for it. The Medrash here tells us that there are three in education, in any kind of learning, which seems daunting to the kiddish, but wise man understands that he can meet any challenge. One is the actual learning, covering material. We call it today our bikiyus. The second one is in the union of havana, understanding the material. And finally, zikaron, in remembering it all. And the Medrash says the difference between the tipish and the chacham is whether he looks at it as an impossibility or it's something that can't be done. But there's one problem with all three mishalim in the Medrash. It would seem to us as objective observers that the tipish has a point. He's not so foolish. When you see, like somebody, remember, once walked into the yeshiva and he looked around at all of this stuff and he says, when am I ever going to learn all that? Can you hear that? And when am I going to be able to understand the depth of that sheer clothing that the Rebbe is giving? And am I going to even remember all of that? The tipish has a case that on the surface it looks like an impossibility, both in covering the material, understanding it, and remembering it. Where does he go wrong in the tipish? There's such a thing called siyata d'shmaya. We don't make it on our talents alone. Not in covering ground, not in understanding, and not in remembering. There's siyata d'shmaya. That is how we remove the sore from the mouths of our children. We have to instill in them that they have to try as hard as they can, they have to do their best, and that leap beyond, that they want to reach that goal, that they have to be mispalel for, and they'll be zoche, and their parents are being mispalel for them, their teachers being mispalel for them. You want to see an example of a teacher being mispalel? There's a fascinating episode in Tanakh when Elisha Novi was very much a troublemaker for the armies of the Goyim. And every time that the Melech Aram sent out a company to ambush the troops of the Melech Yisrael, Elisha would send him a message, don't go over there, because they're waiting for you over there. Finally, the king became so frustrated, and he called together all of his servants and said, tell me, who's leaking the information? Leaking didn't start over here only from the meetings of the Israeli cabinet. It went on in those days as well, and he was questioned that somebody is leaking information, and somebody tells him, no, one of his servants says, that's not, nobody here is informing on you. They got a prophet called Elisha, and he tells the Melech Yisrael, everything which you say in the privacy of your bedroom. So he said, we got to get him. And he sent out an army to get Elisha to bring him to him. And the army comes to Doisan, where Elisha is, and they surround the city, a tremendous force. And the young Nab, a youngster who's the attendant, the servant of Elisha, Vayashke Mishonez Ishalekim, and he says, take a look, my master, the mountain is surrounded with horses and riders. They've come to get us. What are we going to do? Vayomer al tiro. And Elisha said, don't be afraid. Ki rabim asher etonim me'asher oisam. We have more troops than they have. Vayispalel Elisha. So Elisha is espalel HaKadosh Baruch Hu vayomer. Hashem pkachno es eino v'yireh. Open up his eyes that he should see. Vayivka Hashem Eseinei Anav, and Hashem opened his eyes and he saw the mountain filled with horses and riders made of fire and all around protecting Elisha. And what happened afterwards? Those soldiers and horses of fire never went to war against this Goyish enemy. What happened was that they came down to get Elisha, and Elisha turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, blind them. And they were blind, and Elisha goes out to them and says, you're in the wrong place, you're looking for Elisha, I'll show you where he is. And he leads them to the capital of Malchus Yisrael, to Shomron, where they're taken captive. Now there's Shiloh. The obvious Shiloh over here. Elisha doesn't need all those fiery horses and riders. He's going to win the battle by having them blinded. So what was the point of having that vision that the Nile, that his Mishores saw? Tevet says, Chaim Sholevitz, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, that a person is zeichet to a nes like that, they should become blind and not be able to take him captive. Only if he has an emuna, only if he's not panic stricken, if he has confidence in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And for the Nah, something that Anisha didn't need, but for that youngster to have it being that kind of confidence that comes from seeing the mountains filled with horses and riders made of fire, then that youngster could also be zeichet to a nes of the soldiers that came to take them captive to be blinded. Our job as teachers is to open up the eyes of those youngsters that are put in our charge. Open up their eyes and make them visualize as if the mountains are filled with fiery soldiers and fiery horses, but not necessarily those of war. Open up their eyes if there are malochim who are able to help them to learn, to cover ground, to understand, and to remember. That kind of confidence that the youngsters need, that's only the teacher is capable of instilling that. And it's so crucial. And sometimes it has to be done with cleverness. A youngster has to be given a challenge that he can easily overcome. Give him a parent mishnayis to learn so that he can feel, oh, he made a seum on that. He made a seum on a parent. I've seen a talmidim in our yeshiva who just introduced the learning. They made a seum. I know what it means for them. I did it. It's a breakthrough. I can do it. My eyes are open and I see fiery malachim. And they're leading me all the way. That's how you remove the sores from a mouth that cannot taste the time of Torah. And there's yet another responsibility on the part of the educator. The educator has a problem many times. And this is something we all face, one of the hardest decisions to make. Sometimes we just can't handle that student. Either a student is just not performing at all, or a student is even sometimes disturbing the class because of his lack of interest. What do we do? Do we remain, that student must remain in the class? Won't go into the famous machlekes of gedolim in regard to yeshivas, of removing somebody from the yeshiva, the attitude, the position of the Chazon Ish versus the position of Rosh Yeshiva, without going into that simply on our own level. What does it mean when we come to a conclusion that this child cannot be any longer in our class? Does our responsibility end by simply telling the parents, you must take the child out of the school? Let me share with you another episode in Tanakh, in the same Sefer Malachim, which gives us a tremendous insight in what is the responsibility of a parent at that time, or rather of a teacher at that time. There was a time in Jewish history when there were no Sefer Torah around. Achaz, an Oyvan Avodah Zarah, king, burned all the Sefer, destroyed all the Sefer Torah. And one day, during the reign of Yeshio, the Sefer Torah, not Stama Sefer Torah, but the Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote, was discovered in the Beis Hamikdash. Wonderful. So they rushed to bring it, to the king, and it was rolled up to a certain place. And where was it rolled up to? The Teichacha. The Teichacha in which it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to take the people and their king into Golis. Sefer HaTorah, when he heard it read at that point, Vayikras begodav, he made kriya on his clothes. And the Melech says, I still don't understand the full meaning of this. The Sefer HaTorah should be found and rolled up just to that point. See, he sent a delegation to ask an interpretation of that from who? From Chulda HaNeviah. The woman, one of the Sheva Neviah is Chulda. He says, please go over there and ask her the pshat. And she told them that, of course, that's going to be Mekuyim, there's no way out, there's going to be Golas. But because you showed such remorse that you rented your garments and that, so it won't happen in your time. Asks the Yemoleh Megillah. Why did the king send to Chulda Neviah, to a woman, when Yirmiyahu HaNavi was around? Why did he send to Yirmiyahu? Listen to one of the Talmudim of the Gemara. Because he knew that Chulda as a woman is Rachmonis. She has a capacity of Rachmonis that a man doesn't have. Ask the Marsha, what does that mean? Can a Navi interpret according to their own feelings? A Nevuah is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chulda can't say anything different than Yirmiyahu. She's going to say the same thing. This means Golus. Says the Marsha, the difference is that Chulda as a woman will not be content when she's giving this bitter Nevuah. She'll be responsible to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to perhaps change that judgment. The role of every mechanech, when a child is no longer fitting into our program, we cannot just eject him. That means putting him out on the street. The responsibility, whether it's the mechanech or the menahel, find an alternative. I've lived through this on so many occasions where alternatives were always found. But if you leave it to the child and leave it to the family, that kid is going to be out on the street. The risk will become a reality. Chulda Neviah, she's going to be mispalel to change for the Boishan to be moichol, and perhaps that will affect the Nevuah. The mechanech has the responsibility. Find an alternative. There are alternatives, Baruch Hashem. And I want to close on that note. That Bochum ibn Seichem to see alternatives, like we heard about tonight, whether it's the Edidim, whether it's priority one. I'll give you something new. There's a whole new idea that's come up in the last few years. We've had successful businessmen coming from the United States, from Canada, and spending some days learning with Talmidim and Yeshiva. They want to be mentors. They also want to be, they call themselves balabatim at risk. They feel they strengthen themselves by being mentoring and things. Baruch Hashem, there's so many, such a variety of programs of his mentoring. And coming back to Purim Katan, coming back to Purim, I want you to be able to see this in its proper light. You know, in the Purim story, there's always one thing that's always bothered me. Wonderful. But the Habakkuk, the Moshe, makes a great nest. We're saved from the genocidal plot of Haman, Lahashmid, Lahavag, Lahavag's Kala Yehudim. But that all happens because Esther goes to the king and tells him about Haman's plot. What is the parade that all the children like to imitate and they're making that a play and it's such a central part? Mordechai is on the horse, on the king's horse, and Haman is leading him through the streets. Kochei Yaaseh Leish Shamelech Chofetz Bikolei. What does that have to do with the miracle of Purim that we were saved? Why is that given a whole special place in the Purim story? So there's a vault, Siman HaGro, I believe it's from the Gro himself, says that the Ribbono Shel Olam, as we said before about that nar of Elisha, that you're zeicher to a miracle when you have an amuna, when you have a betochen. The Rabbi Shlomo Yisrael saw Klal Yisrael in the matzav of Yush. Here is this Haman, second to the king alone, and he's ready to wipe out the entire Jewish nation. They gave up. The Baal Shem says, wait, I'm going to show you. He's not so important. Take a look. How humiliated is there? Oh, imagine they lie in the streets and they see Mordechai on the horse and Haman leading him. Ah, they got new hope. If they got new hope, then they're zeichet to the ultimate mess. The same thing happened with Yetzias Mitzrayim, you know. B'shenichnas Adar Ma'abim B'simcha, says Rashi. Why Ma'abim B'simcha? Because Nisim Hoyu Purim B'Pesach. Why does he put the two together? Purim, we saw that the parade was necessary to give hope to Klal Yisrael. What was Pesach? Yetzias Mitzrayim, the way Shloim preceded Yetzias Mitzrayim itself with 10 makos. Because here was a people that had given up. They're enslaved. They're oppressed. Where is their bitachon? So Boishan bangs them up. The water drinks the blood and they're scratching themselves with the lice. Oh. So Klal Yisrael gets a new kind of hope. And then they're saying to the nest of Yitzchak and Tzayim Mamish. Mishon u'miftach la'tzadikim. The Rabbi Shleinim wants us to have the miftach, the trust. Mishon, so he gives us a crutch to hold on to so that we can have the ultimate betochen in a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Priority one, Yedidim, and all those wonderful organizations that are doing, that's the mission for us. Even though our hearts bleed with the knowledge that so many of our children are at risk, but we don't give up. We have the mission of seeing that the mission is being performed by these people. And therefore we have the miftach, the betochen, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bless all of these efforts with the greatest hatzlacha, and we'll see all of our children and talmidim grow up to be b'nei Torah, talmidei chacham, who bring nachas to their parents, their teachers, their mentors, and all of Klal Yisrael.
Thank you for listening to this presentation brought to you by Priority One. Please visit us online at www.priority-one.org. That's priority-1.org, where you can download free audio and publications on parenting, teaching, and teens at risk. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us online or call 800-33-4EVER.